Welcome to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Joe Metz. Presented by the FTN Network, this two-man fast break runs you through the best cash and tournament options for every game on today's slate.
What is up, everybody? It is Thursday, August the 13th, 2020. Welcome back into the FTN Fantasy NBA Podcast. Adam Pfeiffer here. Joe Metz back with me after a short hiatus. Joe Stefano filled in. It was a really fun podcast, but we're glad to have you back. And what was your reaction to the Giannis Zinedine Zidane impression? Dude, Giannis has been getting a little testy lately.
He's had this level of aggression that we haven't really seen. I'm not a fan of it. I mean, I understand you get frustrated, but this game is meaningless. Don't put yourself in a situation where you could miss meaningful games. But at the end of the day, like, I don't like Mo Wagner. He's a Michigan guy. Like, he gets under your skin. I get it. He also flopped. For what it's worth, that headbutt was not as dramatic as he made it seem.
It was also completely unnecessary in a meaningless game.
So, I mean, was that Budenholzer, or was that Giannis telling Budenholzer to stop playing me in these meaningless games? I don't know. But I don't like it. It seems like it's so out of his character, and I also don't think it's a good look for someone that's the face of the NBA to be doing that.
Well, there's seven games on Thursday, but on both FanDuel and DraftKings, the main slate only includes the five games, the first of which starting at 4 p.m., which is great for us because that's going to be the focus of the podcast here. Really quickly, Boston plays in the early game, and Tatum, Smart, Hayward, Kemba, Jaylen Brown, and Daniel Tice are all out. So whoever's honestly in the lineup for the Celtics tomorrow is probably in play. Like, I don't think we need to get too in-depth on that because they literally have six guys. At last I checked, at least it was six, inactive for that game. So, yeah it's... You're gonna see. We saw it tonight. You know, Joel Embiid, Al Horford didn't play the second half. You know, the Raptors guys came, you know, and sat a lot in the second half, and the Sixers and Raptors benches kind of went at each other. That was kind of cool. You're probably gonna see that. You do have three teams in particular on this slate that are all in: Memphis, Phoenix, and Portland. They are gonna be playing their guys. The rest of the teams, we've seen some guys already rolled out, and we could potentially see a situation where in the second half they kind of play fewer minutes or rarely play at all. So that is something you need to be mindful of when making lineups. But as Stefano talked about on Tuesday's podcast, just try to find the guys that are going to play 30 minutes. Not even 35. Like, at this point, we want 30 minutes. And we'll break it all down, though, of course, here on the podcast. Let's get started, though, with the aforementioned Milwaukee Bucks against the Memphis Grizzlies. Giannis Antetokounmpo with that headbutt. He's been suspended for just this game, so he won't be playing. Who else will be playing for Milwaukee is the question. We know they sat Middleton last game and those guys for rest. That tells me that I don't think they'd be able to do it again here. But is this one of the situations where, you know, these guys play the first half and then barely play in the second half? But if they do play their normal minutes, I mean, we know what the potential is for Chris Middleton when Giannis is off the floor. Over the last 2 weeks, the usage rate's at 30% with him off the floor. Rebounding rate's at 23%, assist rate's at 20%. Brooke Lopez is a 30% usage rate with Giannis off the floor during that span. So does Frank Mason, who's been a really high usage player when he's gotten time for Milwaukee in the bubble. So you're the Milwaukee guy. What should we expect from the Bucks here?
I think my initial reaction is that Middleton plays. You know, we talked about it before the podcast, but he was ruled out last game because of rest, and they were open about that. I highly doubt they do that two games in a row with the NBA starting to crack down and then actually have penalties for it. So I do expect him to play. If he sees 30 minutes, remains to be seen. I expect Bledsoe to be back. I fully expect just about the whole team outside of Giannis to be active. Maybe not Ersan.
But yeah, I forgot to mention Ersan is dealing with a sprained right elbow. He's questionable. So, I mean, if they're without both of them, does Thanasis get some run again? He looked pretty good.
I think it opens the door for Thanasis. It opens the door for DJ Wilson, albeit, like, DJ Wilson is a very unspectacular player. I'm not the biggest DJ Wilson stan in the world, but I think we could see a lot of similarities between how the 76ers handle their rotation today and what the Bucks may do tomorrow, which means we could see another big Frank Mason game. We could see some Dante. We could see I wouldn't expect to see a ton of George Hill just because he is a veteran. They want to get young guns some run.
Same with Marvin Williams, which is why Thanasis or DJ Wilson, you know, at minimum salary. Like, these 3K guys are going to get 20-plus minutes on this slate. So
I highly doubt Kyle Korver sees a ton of run, which could lead to more Sterling Brown
minutes. Especially since he played in that Washington game.
Correct. Pat Connaughton could still see some time. So, like you said, this is – I mean, you're throwing darts here, but – strategically, target the younger players, as cliche as that may sound. And at the end of the day, like, we've seen examples of what young players will get run when players are scaled back. And that being, you know, a Frank Mason who saw 30 minutes against Denver, 18 against Brooklyn. Pat Connaughton has been getting steady run. DJ Wilson's been getting decent playing time. Brook Lopez has been the one key cog that hasn't seemed to waver at all. You know, he saw, for the first time since the restart, he saw under 29 minutes. He saw 25 last game. I could see around the same playing time then, and that's also in large part because they don't really have another true big besides him and his brother Robin. So if Memphis deploys JoVal, they need someone to counter that. But this is a good game environment. These are two top 10 teams in the NBA in pace. Memphis isn't an elite defensive unit, and Memphis is going to be playing hard. So I expect there to be production to go around. I like Middleton if he plays. Frank Mason and Dante stick out as two other plays that I'll probably target. And then, like you said, DJ Wilson and Thanasis are two darts you can throw if Ersan is ruled out. What are your thoughts on not just this side of the game, the entire game?
I'm curious, actually, on somebody we didn't mention. That's Eric Bledsoe. He's had plenty of big games with Giannis out. And whereas, you know, Middleton's priced where he should be, I would say, when with Giannis out, Bledsoe is definitely a 7K guy when Giannis is off the floor. He's 5,800. He has, over the last 2 weeks, a team-high 27% assist rate with Giannis off the floor, 24% usage rate, so, and a 27% rebounding rate. So at 5,800, like, he only has to play like 27 to 30 minutes to be viable. I think he might be my favorite of this group. And yeah, you can take your shots on Frank Mason, DiVincenzo, and maybe some of those wings we mentioned. For Memphis, it's interesting, man. It's a big game for them, obviously.
Yeah.
Ja Morant is priced, I believe this is the highest price he's been all season at 9K. But you're getting 40 minutes from Ja Morant in this game. He's played 40 minutes in each of the last two that were, you know, both of which were relatively competitive. They're playing for something, which is, at this point of season, what we want to target. So, you know, the matchup gets enhanced without Giannis being in the middle of that defense. Milwaukee probably won't play as fast with Giannis because he's you know, the league leader in transition scoring, but they're still gonna play fast. Memphis is seventh in pace, so. Do you like Ja Morant at 9K? Is it too much? Or is it, given the slate, that you're like, okay, this is a guy that I know is going to play 35 to 40 minutes. The price really doesn't matter for me.
It's exactly that. You know, on any other normal slate in the regular season, I'd probably write him off right away at this price. But he's not only a lock for 30 minutes, he's a lock for 35 to 40. The production is going to be there. The Bucks defense does take a step back without Giannis, and frankly, even with Giannis, it looks like they've been rather lackluster in the bubble. But he's also a player that is going to do everything, and his will to win is high. I think he's one of, if not, I'm not going to say the safest because Damian Lillard is on the slate, but I think Ja Morant is one of the safest plays overall on the slate. So I think in this scenario, you kind of just have to ignore his price and realize the floor you're getting compared to the lack of thereof just about everywhere else on the slate.
I really like Dylan Brooks here. Another guy that's going to play 35 minutes. Milwaukee.
He's cheap.
Yeah, 5,500. He's, you know, had that 25% usage rate consistently since the bubble. You know, this is a Milwaukee guy. They give up a ton of threes. I believe they still get up the highest percentage of points from three. Dylan Brooks is going to shoot a lot of threes. Took 10 two games ago. 5,500. I definitely like him. I don't know if I'm going to get to Valanciunas here because he is, even in this situation, he's still not a guy that you go, okay, he's definitely going to play 35 because, I mean, he's only played over 30 twice since the restart. And, Jaren Jackson Jr. has missed a lot of those games. So at 7,700, plus if Brook Lopez is playing decent or normal minutes, that's going to pull him away from the basket on defense for rebounding opportunities. So Jovell is somebody I'm not too sure on. Brandon Clark's price is gone up as he's been a little bit more consistent over the last couple games to 5,200. Maybe if he's playing some four, but they will use him at the 5-2. But also if they're using him at the five, that he might be, not up against Brook Lopez. So Dylan Brooks, definitely my favorite from this team, all things considering with price. Anybody else stand out from this team? Grayson Allen's minutes have been really consistent.
That's literally what I was about to say. Dollar for dollar, I actually prefer Grayson Allen over Dylan Brooks. I understand Dylan Brooks is cheap. Absolutely love the play. But I can't get over how many three-pointers that Grayson Allen is shooting. 9 last game, 10 the game before, 8 the 2 games before that, 6 the game before that, 6 the game before that. Like, he is getting consistent minutes in the high 20s right now, and he's producing. While obviously this could regress to the mean at any point, if there is a matchup for him to exploit, given his recent production, this is the one on the perimeter. I think he's a very, very low risk play at his price. The only deterrent as to whether or not he's someone you're going to want to target is what value potentially opens up elsewhere. But I absolutely love him on a per-dollar basis.
All right, anything else from this game?
No, I think we hit it.
Let's go to another team. Must-win situation for the still-undefeated Phoenix Suns. They are against the Dallas Mavericks here. Dallas, we saw them in a really fun game against Portland where, if you played the main guys, Luka, Dame, Porzingis, you're pretty happy. Luka, 11-4. I expect him to play. Does he play 35 to 38 minutes? I don't know. I honestly don't know with Dallas. Yeah. But, if he gets those minutes, he's going to be, among the best players on the slate. I want to start with Phoenix, though, because we know these guys are playing minutes. Devin Booker, 41 minutes last game against the Sixers. He's been fantastic, 35 real points in 3 straight games, taking, he's a lock to take 17 to 25 shots. He is very expensive here, but again, it's the same argument with John Morant. In a must-win game, Devin Booker is going to be extremely busy, and we've seen what the upside is. So, Devin Booker, I like DeAndre Ayton here. He's been a little underwhelming last two. He had the whole COVID test thing against OKC, and then against Philly. The other night he wasn't great. 8,100. Aaron Baines is back, which, is he on the injury report? So he didn't play. He was questionable.
This will be his first game back, but he...
I think I saw he was supposed to play. Oh, no, he was upgraded to questionable, which I believe is what it was against Philadelphia. Yep.
So, but never ended up, yeah.
Yeah, so he's still up in the air, but...
So I do think, though, with this being his first game back, especially with what's on the line, I have a hard time believing that they give him his normal allotment of playing time. This still seems like it shouldn't deter you from playing DeAndre Ayton, in my opinion. That's my point.
Yeah, I like Ayton here. Dallas has been an exploitable team in the post. They give up the most points per game to the post at 7 per contest. And Porzingis is questionable, which he wasn't when I last opened the slate. He's dealing with a bruised left heel. It's probably more towards if this game, he could easily play if he had to, but that would open things up because we already know this front court's shorthanded. Maxi Kleber is probable, but we know they're still going to be without Willie Cauley-Stein, Dwight Powell. We know how incredibly efficient Boban can be if he gets the run, and what this does for the usage rate of not just the usage rate, but, Luka's already a massive rebounder, but his rebounding rate is ridiculous with Porzingis off the floor. So, what do you think of Ayton, I guess? And then, we've seen Cam Johnson play really well. Mikal Bridges is, the Harrison Barnes of this team. He plays huge minutes, and if he, is hitting his shots and cutting, he's a really good cutter, but if he's hitting his threes, then he's probably going to exceed value. If not, he's not going to do much else. But all these guys are getting huge minutes.
Yeah.
The one guy that I'm not sure about is Dario Saric, who's been really good the last two games, but he's been at 24 and 23 minutes.
Yeah. Speaking on the Suns side of the ball, I It's hard to get away from Devin Booker. I personally like Booker at his price better than Morant at his. In this specific matchup, he will, like, there's not really, you know, an elite defender that could lock him down, making it an exploitable matchup. You know, Dallas is 25th against dimers, 27th against crafty finishers, 21st against primary ball handlers, and 20th against scorers. So they're literally bottom 10 in the entire league against every single one of his player traits. The volume is going to be there, but he also distributes well. He's been hitting the glass. And similar situation that, you know, we'll mention Damian Lillard later. This, he's proven that he is going to do everything he can to will his team to win, and that's the player you want on this slate. So I prefer Devin Booker if I'm targeting anyone on this team. DeAndre Ayton is up there too. His minutes will be back to normal with the COVID escapade behind us. I actually think DeAndre Ayton, I don't think his stock changes, you know, whether Porzingis is in or out. If Porzingis is in, Ayton is a versatile defender that can defend the perimeter. But if Boban, ends up starting and Porzingis is out, like we saw the last time Porzingis being out.
He'll blow by Boban.
Exactly, yes. He will blow by him. He will take him out to the perimeter and dice him up.
And
but
they'll
also need his size defensively.
Yeah, they would not be able to stop the pick and roll with Ayton and Booker and or Rubio.
That would be best case scenario for DeAndre. But, I mean, on the flip side of things, that'd also be best case scenario for Boban, obviously. Shout out Eddie Fear. Did you happen to see that video?
It was incredible. I clicked on the video. Like, I was in the Discord when the Boban video was sent to Eddie. And I found the video. I just watched it repeatedly. It was so great.
It's hilarious. The character that he puts into it, too. He's not just reading off the script. He's having so much
fun. He had a legitimate fun with it. It was sick.
There's literally nothing not to like about him. We can get our Boban minute out of the way. But the rest of this team, you know, like Cam Johnson's been consistent up until the last game when Bridges had his blow-up game. I think both of them are cheap enough to warrant consideration, assuming Cam Johnson plays like he's expected to. Dario is hit or miss. His minutes have been in the low 20s. He's seeing decent volume, though, so if this is a player where I've talked about in the past, if you have 52 to 5,500 and can't figure out your last spot, I have no problem with him. The one player in the Suns that I have zero interest in is Ricky Rubio. He's priced up way too high, in my opinion. He's priced up for his ceiling.
Yeah, I haven't played him all year with the Suns when he's been over 7K.
I can't do it.
Most guys are out, but
perfect player when he's, you know, hovering around that $5,700 to $6,300 range. But the higher you get from there, it just starts to feel like his ceiling kind of closes in.
By the way, I completely disagree with Draymond Green. Do I think Devin Booker is ever going to win a title in Phoenix? I don't think so, but between him, Ayton, Cam Johnson, Bridges, like, they have some young talent that's really... Because it hasn't just been Booker. Like, Cam Johnson's played really well in the bubble. We know what Ayton's capable of. Mikal Bridges is a really, really good defender. He's got length. Like, I don't know. I'm really intrigued by this team if they can add a couple guys. Because Devin Booker is just ascending every single night into a star.
Yeah, he's really changed the narrative from being a pure scorer and offensive player to a complete well-rounded playmaker.
Yeah, he was at Kentucky because they had so many. They're just loaded. He was just a guy that came off screens and just hit shots. But now he's just morphed into just an all-around just incredible basketball player. Dallas. I mean, how do we prioritize Luka on this slate?
That's what I'm struggling with. I think if Dallas had something to play for, Luka would be by far and away my favorite play on the slate.
Yeah.
But with Damian Lillard around the same price range, knowing what he's capable of.
And he's pissed off.
Like, look at that 61-point game he had last game was one of the best performances I've ever seen.
I've seen a lot of people, and it's what a lot of people do. It's reactionary. They're all on Twitter was, would you rather have Steph or Dame?
I'm taking Steph.
I think most people would take Steph, but I don't think it's as egregious of a question as people believe.
No, I don't either.
And I may be a homer, but like in 2000, I think it was 16, I got blasted because I said, how big really is the gap between Kyrie and Steph? And I got blasted for it. But it's like, they're all in that same ilk, man. They're just walking Absolute buckets. And it's so fun to watch.
I think the gap between Steph and Kyrie is bigger than the gap between Steph and Dame.
I would agree, but especially right. now. But Kyrie, Steph, a couple of years ago, was just – he was just locked in.
Steph has the accolades. But the thing is, if you put Dame in Steph's situation in Golden State, I wouldn't be surprised if they still win all those rings.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I wouldn't either.
You know, I'm prioritizing Dame over Luka on this slate. I don't think – I think Luka is an elite tournament pivot. Obviously, there is the risk of his minutes being monitored and scaled back, but we know his upside. It's
He has a 33% rebounding rate over the last 2 weeks with Porzingis off the floor. That's it's absurd for a guard.
So I think he's a great tournament play, not someone I need to prioritize if you're playing cash games. If Porzingis is out, obviously it's a big bump. If Porzingis is out, I'm going to have a hard time not going back to Boban, especially if they say he's starting.
Yeah, I mean, the usage won't be as high, but it doesn't matter. Luka's going to find him, and he's going to walk into the rebounds and everything. We know what Boban does when he can get 20 minutes, let alone if he ever plays more than that. 23% usage, 40% rebounding rate without Porzingis in 50 minutes over the last 2 weeks. So you know what to do there. The rest of his team is kind of meh. I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. is a guy I never play at this price when they're at full strength. He's been good the last two games, but obviously one of them came without half the Mavericks roster. Seth Curry's 4,200. He may be a little interesting. He played 29 minutes the last game. Gets a bump in usage without Porzingis if he's out, but not a priority. And then Dorian Finney-Smith just, pretty much always plays the minutes. He's probable, but unless he walks into some his rebounding's been better lately, but I don't think you have to go there on this. I'd rather play Cam Johnson on the other side.
I would too. I think I'd rather play Mikal Bridges too. I don't have any interest in Tim Hardaway at 6K. I understand the upside's there, but it's also severely limited with Luka and much more ambiguous. I don't see a need for Trey Burke either, unless I don't want to say it's impossible that Luka could be ruled out, because I think we've seen how the last couple slates have gone. Like, it's in the range of outcomes. If that is the case, I think this Mavs team becomes extremely targetable from a value standpoint. But with Luka in the fold, it's hard to trust any of the value guards to exceed what you need them to.
All right, let's go to the Spurs and Jazz. Got some injury news / rest news here. Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert, both ruled out for the Jazz. I believe Emmanuel Mudiay is also on the injury report. No, he's off the injury report.
He just got off,
Yeah, so that's interesting. And then for San Antonio, Bryn Forbes, who's yet to play in the bubble, he won't return this game. Patty Mills didn't play in Tuesday's game. It's either a coach's decision or rest. He just didn't play. He wasn't hurt, but was ruled inactive. He's questionable as well. For Utah, so we already know there's no Gobert and no Conley. Joe Wingles is a guy I love playing with when Mike Conley's out, because he assumes that point forward role, because Donovan Mitchell's he's a scorer. He leads the team in assist rate over the course of the season with these guys off the floor. We haven't seen a huge sample where Ingles and Donovan Mitchell have been off the floor or have been on the floor without Conley and Gobert. It's only been 6 minutes over the last 2 weeks for Mitchell and 22 minutes for Ingles. The guy that really has been off the floor with a lot, and it's not surprising since he comes off the bench, but it's Jordan Clarkson. 33 minutes over the last 2 weeks with both off the floor, a 40% usage rate. It's a relatively small sample size, so if you want to pull it over the course of the entire season, you can get a better picture. The assist rate, Joe Ingles leads the team at 23%, which is why I like him here, especially against the Spurs, who are 26th against dimers. So I like Ingles here, and he's priced where he kind of should be. He's been shooting the ball pretty well from three since the restart. Donovan Mitchell, 8,200. He's been really aggressive as usual. Look at the shot attempts from him. The peripherals have been really better for him as well lately, which helps him. Thoughts on those guys? I think Ingles is my favorite right now. Then we also have to look at somebody like Tony Bradley, who, when he's given the run or given a start, he's been very productive. And he has last time I looked, it was a massive 43% rebounding rate with Gobert and Conley off the floor this year.
Yeah, He's my favorite.
Okay, it's only 11 minutes, so that's really a small sample. Yeah. I didn't realize that. But who else is there to get rebounds? Because Royce O'Neal's a small four. You know, really don't have anybody else, but...
Yeah, I think between he and Ingles, I like them on a point-per-dollar basis. Tony Bradley also produces over a fantasy point per minute with both these guys off the court when you extrapolate over the entire season. So I really, really like the upside. He brings at only 3,400. And he should, you know, obviously the Spurs run kind of small with DeRozan at the four, but they play Pirtle at the five enough where he should see, you know, Pirtle and Eubanks, where he should see 20 to 25 minutes. I think that's more than enough at his price to see value, especially if Boban becomes irrelevant if Kristaps plays. I think that's a fine pivot. I do really, really like Ingles, like you said. You know, he showed, even in he only played in the first half in their last game against Dallas, he still posted 7-7-4 in 13 minutes when he assumed the role of primary ball handler with Mitchell out. So I absolutely love Ingles. We've done this, you know, we've targeted him this year when Conley's out. We targeted him when Mitchell's out. We did it last year when Rubio was out. It's just kind of too easy, and it never really garners the ownership it should. So Ingles is, right now, he's my favorite mid-tier play on the slate.
Yeah, I love him.
He is an unsexy play. I get it, but he gets the job done. I like the volume of Donovan Mitchell. Like, he shot in there double, obviously it was a double overtime game. He shot 33 times. Like, he's shooting the ball a ton. 18 attempts the game before, 22, 15. Is he going to play 35 minutes? The potential's there. It's not a guarantee. But I think at his price, without Conley, it's a pretty safe floor that you're getting from a volume standpoint. But outside of those three, you know, I probably rank them Ingles, Bradley, Mitchell.
What about Clarkson?
I'd say Clarkson's four. It's not good to have biases in DFS, and I understand that, but Clarkson is one of those players that I have never gotten right. Aside from last game, that was a little more obvious with Mitchell out, but Clarkson, I don't know what he has against me, but man, he's one of the players that's giving me a hard time. I understand the play, but for me, on a point per dollar standpoint, I like the three aforementioned players a little more.
And by the way, I had the wrong usage rates. I had last season up. So just to clarify, with Conley and Gobert off the floor this season, mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell, 33.5% usage. The assist rate, Ingles at 14%, leads the team among, like, you know, notable players. Manu Moutier is also at 14% with a 24% usage. I guess we could throw Bogdanovich off the floor too. But
yeah.
You know, Clarkson, 26.5% usage, right around a fantasy point per minute. Tony Bradley, 41% rebounding rate. Like, these guys, like, would you take a shot on Emmanuel Mudiay potentially? Because at 3,300, like, I know he played 27 minutes against Dallas. That was a game where they sat the guys they started for the second half, but he also played 28 the game before that.
I think
Mitchell sat that game too, though. But also, like, on the same side, Mike Conley is sitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly think you can. It's going to come down to whether or not you need to. You know, like, there's going to be a ridiculous amount of value on this slate. You also already know, I mean, at least I already know, one of my point guard spots, regardless of site, is going to be Damian Lillard. So you just have to evaluate the opportunity cost between Emmanuel Mudiay or, at his price of value, play like Tony Bradley in the utility spot, Boban in the utility spot, or some of the guys we'll continue to mention. But I definitely think he is worth throwing in that value conversation for sure.
For the Spurs, this spot is always interesting for me with DeMar DeRozan against the Jazz, because when Rudy Gobert is active, it's a spot where DeRozan, like, drives and then pulls up from, like, the free throw line, and he finds success, which is why I like playing in tournaments against Utah. Rudy Gobert is not active, but... you know, we talked with Stefano on the podcast the other day, and he was a little bit worried about guys like DeRozan because Popovich has been going a lot younger during the bubble. But 8,100 is a really fair price. I think his absolute ceiling is like 33 minutes.
That's fair.
He'll go really, really under the rug on this slate, in my opinion, especially with Donovan Mitchell on the other side at 8,200. Rudy Gobert, or not Rudy Gobert, Rudy Gay has been playing really well since the restart. Getting a lot of those small ball minutes at the four, sometimes even at the five, which has helped his rebounding numbers. And then you have the guards. DeJounte Murray, 6,500. I think it's a little too high. I understand that Forbes is banged up and Patty Mills is questionable, but like Derek White's back, and Derek White being there is enough for me to be a little bit worried about Murray at 6,500.
I also think if you're just taking the games and the restart in a vacuum, if both players were priced at 6,500, I think I'd still prefer Derek White based on his production.
Yeah, these Spurs guards are usually, at least when Forbes is healthy, he, White, and Murray are usually really closely priced, especially Murray and White. But yes, a $600 difference, I'll just play Derek White.
Yeah, I think he's a great play. I think DeJounte Murray always warrants consideration in tournaments given his upside, but I think he's finally at a point where, he's been at a point over the last couple slates around that 58, 59, or 6 grand where he's really tempting you. Seeing his price now, I have no problem fading, and I'm confident in that.
Anybody else, Poeltl or anybody interest you? I'd probably have more interest in Poeltl if Gobert was active.
I'm definitely interested in Keldon Johnson. I mean, his price has come up to 4,700, but like you said, Popovich has moved more towards the youth assets on this team, him being a very significant one of them. He's looked really good, and he's seen pretty steady playing time throughout the bubble. Volume's been pretty inconsistent, but if there's a game where they're going to scale back DeRozan, if there's a game they're going to scale back the other wings like Rudy Gay, Keldon Johnson should step into 30 minutes. I still like him for the price.
What did you say his price was again?
4,700.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, let's get to Mr. Damian Lillard. Huge game for Portland here against the Brooklyn Nets. Injury report, Chioza left last game with a hip injury. He's questionable. This is really notable. Stefano was touting Jeremiah Martin heavy on the podcast, mm-hmm. and he was really, really sharp. He's talked about how he's been shooting a lot, and he went for 24 real points, 37.5 DK points. Now, the difference is Caris LeVert, Joe Harris, Jared Allen, these guys all look like they're going to be playing. But this is another team in Brooklyn that is locked in right now. Now, there are also guys that are younger. LeVert's had injury concerns, but I don't know if I foresee them resting these guys or limiting their minutes. So let's start with Brooklyn real quick. Like I said, Chioza questionable. I think that's it because everybody else is out.
Jamal Crawford's obviously out.
Yeah, and by the way, Timothy Luwalu-Cabarrot, shout out to him for balling out for me.
Yeah, he's
and being the player in my lineup that I didn't think I'd be not worried about, but in return it was actually Russell Westbrook, Robert Covington, and Yusuf Nurkic.
That's fair. Dante Hall is also questionable right now, but again, with Jared Allen expected back, it's kind of irrelevant.
Did you see the Brooklyn prices?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. Like the ones that stick out to me, I think Jared Allen is extremely expensive. Caris LeVert's fine. He's in a range where I assumed he'd be most of the bubble. Joe Harris is incredibly too cheap, in my opinion. Joe Harris is 5,200.
Yeah. Portland's just one of the best matchups across the board. Harris is consistently taking like 12 to 15 shots. He's been shooting lights out from three. I love LeVert in tournaments here. The matchup is so good. 29th against dimers, 24th against primary ball handlers, Portland is. 28th against scorers, 29th against crafty finishers. I'm going to have some tournament interest in Caris LeVert for sure. I think Joe Harris is a perfectly fine play at his price. Jared Allen's the guy I struggle with because it's also a good matchup for him. But 7,500 is a little bit scary. He's been playing huge minutes too because they don't have anybody else to play center for them right now, especially if Dante Hall misses. Like, they just don't have...
That's the thing.
Like, Kuroks has been playing a lot of center for them by default.
You look at every game in the restart, when he's seen over 30 minutes, he hasn't dropped below 45 DK points.
Yeah, and that was always the problem in the regular season, because him and DeAndre Jordan were kind of eating away at each other's minutes. It's not the case now.
And you look at...
Would you rather play him or Valanciunas?
Oh. The thing is, the issue with both of them is whether or not they're going to get the playing time.
I think I'd rather play. I think Jared Allen has a better chance to play 35 minutes.
Which
is weird because Memphis needs to win.
Memphis needs to win, but in order for them to win, the ball is going to be in John Morant's hands 99% of the game. So, and you're also getting a $200 discount on Jared Allen, who his ceiling in terms of minutes is much higher than JaVale's ceiling in terms of minutes. So I like Jared Allen more. I genuinely don't think I'll play him in single entry, but I wouldn't be opposed to playing him in a tournament lineup. Nurkic is a big body, but he's prone to getting in foul trouble as well, and that's what ruined his prospects last game. So like you said, this Portland team is attackable in literally every facet. LeVert is probably the top play on Brooklyn. I think Joe Harris is my favorite point per dollar play, though.
Yeah, Portland is, let's see, bottom 12 in points per game allowed off screens, and Joe Harris is, fourth in the NBA in points per game off screens. Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. I don't think you can go to Jeremiah Martin if Chioza sits just because LeVert is such a high-usage player. Joe Harris, these guys are going to put his minutes back down. But he's definitely been interesting. I want to shout out Stefano for that call. I don't know. Anybody else on this team?
Not really. The Portland side of the ball is the side of the ball that I have the most interest in, arguably on the slate.
Yeah, let's get to it. Damian Lillard, going to do whatever it takes to win this game, as he's done the last two games with 51 and 61 points. 11-2 is expensive, but again, it's not your typical Thursday night slate in the NBA regular season. This is a slate and a time where guys are, sitting the second half of games or sitting altogether, and certain teams need to win or their season is over, and this is one of the situations. It's a great matchup, and Damian Lillard's matchup-proof anyway, but this is one of those situations where you just throw matchup and everything out the window and say, one of the best players in the NBA is going to play 40 minutes.
Correct. And we're used to Damian Lillard in that mid to high 9K range, so people might scoff at his price. But look at his production. He's got four games over 60 DK points. He has two over 80 in his last four games. It's very, very rare where you can feel confident that you might get 7 to 8x out of a player this expensive. This is one of those situations where it is a likely outcome. It's not just in the range of outcomes and it's improbable. He's going to shoot the ball 30 times tomorrow today. I see no reason not to start.
Dude, Portland's rotation against Dallas. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's like eight-man rotation. Eight players. It's an eight-man rotation. And Gary Trent Jr., 35 minutes. Nurkic, 29, but he had the foul trouble. McCollum, 38.5. Mello, 35. Zach Collins, 20. This could be a seven-man rotation if Nurkic stays out of foul trouble. It'll probably be eight regardless. And then Dame, 41. This is heaven for DFS. This is a seven, eight-man rotation is just huge.
Could we see this? I don't know if you saw the report about CJ McCollum.
I did. That's what I was going to ask you about next.
Fractured back.
There's no way he sits, but...
No, there's... I mean, if he's played through it this far,
yeah.
There's no way he sits, even if they know about it. Because I have a hard time believing he was the only one that knew this. I think he plays, but, do they scale it back a little bit? Maybe. Do you think he sees 40 minutes? Actually, I guess looking at his game log, he's literally not seen less than 39 minutes in a game since the restart, so I don't think he'll be scaled back.
Yeah, I don't see how you can just tell him to not play.
I think just about everybody in this starting lineup is viable, and that's a rare thing on a DFS slate where you can literally throw any of these starters in your lineup and feel confident. Even Zach Collins is only $4,200.
And Brooklyn, I know their guys are healthy right now. They're guys they brought in the bubble. But even regardless, they've been playing tough as hell. So, Portland, with how bad they are defensively, I don't expect this game to get out of hand, really, which is obviously important for us to get these 40 minutes. But even so, Terry Stotts isn't going to be like, oh, we're up by 12. You guys can come out. No, just we're going to make sure we win this game no matter what.
Yeah. I don't see – if I had to prioritize and rank the Portland players, I think for me it would go Lillard, McCollum, Actually, probably Lillard-Nurkic, to be honest. Even with Nurkic's price, his ceiling has been exponentially higher than I think we ever expect. Maybe not we, but I ever expected going to this restart. I'd probably go Lillard, Nurkic, McCollum, Collins, Melo. And then, I mean, Gary Trent's been playing really well, too.
Gary Trent has been the, like, all-bubble second team, honestly. Like,
yeah. But then, the thing is, then I'm looking at Melo's game log. He's got three straight 20-point performances with at least seven rebounds. Like, we're seeing vintage Melo over the last three games. This team is offensively, the thing is, they're putting so much energy out offensively, which is why they're such an attackable team defensively. This game in general is a fantasy goldmine for tomorrow. I'm going to have 4 to 5 pieces from this game.
For sure. Last game, Pelicans, Magic, you know, both, or not both teams, but New Orleans, we all know they've been out of playoff contention. Jrue Holiday, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, once again, not going to be playing. Same guys that have been out for Orlando, Isaac, Gordon, Fournier, Terrence Ross. They're also out again. Michael Carter-Williams is out. We saw the Magic really shorthanded in their last game. Still limited minutes for Nikola Vucevic. I see it happening again here, honestly. They have to be... not only do they need a miracle to beat Milwaukee in the first round, but they need to be at full strength as much as possible. So, especially given Ross being away from the team, Fournier sick, Gordon hurt, Isaac out, they cannot afford Vucevic to get any sort of injury. So, I'd be shocked if he played more than, like, 27 minutes here, which kind of takes me off of him on a slate where you need as many minutes as possible. Yeah, Markelle Fultz got off to a brutal start. A lot of people in the Discord were worried. I was like, guys, he's going to be fine. He finished 7 for 18, finished with 30 fantasy points. Mm-hmm. Is priced up a little bit, but he's going to dominate the usage again here. And between he and DJ Augustine, if they're going to give somebody fewer minutes, it would definitely be the veteran.
Yep.
And then you have your guys, Wes Iwundu, the low usage player he is, but he was actually relatively high usage last game, 30 minutes. He's 3,800. Like, there is some value to be had here. And what if we get word tomorrow that they rule out Vucevic entirely, perhaps?
That's the thing. Like, this team right now, going into this game, they have absolutely no wings left. So that puts Wes Iwundu, that puts James Ennis on the radar.
Ennis was chucking last game, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was. No, two games ago. He only shot three games. He only shot 4 shots last game, but the last 3 games before that, 12-10.
And it was also limited minutes the last 2 games.
Correct.
But when he's on the floor, he's chucking, especially now.
The last 2 games, he saw at least 28 minutes. He shot 12 and 10 field goal attempts. Like, he's going to shoot the ball. I still think I prefer a 1-2 at the $700 discount.
Did you see Fultz's usage rate in that last game?
I don't think that might be the highest of his career.
39.3% usage.
It has to be.
Last game.
The thing is, you say, like, you talked about how his price is higher. Like, yeah, it's higher, but, like, if that's a potential outcome, like, I'd pay $5,200 for that.
Yeah, Vucevic was at 33% for what it's worth, but I do not see him playing big minutes again here.
No, there's no way. And there's no reason, even if hypothetically he were to get 35 minutes. There's no reason to target him at this price when there's, Nurkic right around that range in a much more meaningful game. There's Jared Allen in a better game environment. There's Boban as an extreme value. Tony Bradley's an extreme value. He's just a play that you don't need, and I would not go out of your way to force it.
What about the Pelicans? Lonzo Ball played around 29 minutes last game. Another guy that I could see them, capping around 30. Mm-hmm. Nikhil Alexander Walker, huge usage guy when he's on the floor, takes a lot of shots. He played, I think, 24 minutes last game. 25, went for 23 DK points, took 10 shots. He's 3,700. Mm-hmm. Then you have Frank Jackson, who also played 25 minutes, took 11 shots. Like, both these guys are going to take a ton of shots when they're on the floor with Zion, Ingram, and Jrue Holiday out. Then you have Etuan Moore. He's going to play around 25 minutes. J.J. Redick could be a guy that he played. I was surprised he didn't play 32 last game. Or no, he he sat the last game, right?
No, he played the last game. I thought, didn't he? Didn't he go off?
Yeah, that was a Spurs game. That was the ninth. He didn't play against Sacramento. 11th,
played on the ninth. His last game.
So he's not. He could be a full on sit again, or he could play 15 minutes. I'd be shocked if he played more than like 22 minutes.
I don't see his last game being repeated whatsoever.
The Spurs game?
I don't see that being repeated whatsoever.
No, he's not. He's not even going to get the minutes for that. He didn't even play against the Kings.
Josh Hart's also questionable. If he sits, that only opens up more room for Etuan Moore, for Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
Yeah, if he sits, it's huge because he played 30 minutes last game. So you would get really, really solidified minutes from those guys and 3-Twan. Nico Melli, he actually led the team in usage in that last game, but he still had a brutal outing. Shot 1 of 10. There's plays to be had here. Jackson Hayes could be interesting if he gets more run. Favors, he came off the bench in their last game because, you know, it doesn't really matter. Anybody on New Orleans really stand out to you?
I think I might have, given his price, I do have a little interest in Jackson Hayes, as crazy as that may sound. I expect him to get at least, you know, 20, 22 minutes like he saw last game. But I also don't expect Derek Favors, you know, he's a candidate to sit altogether like he did last game. But even if he doesn't, I don't see him anywhere north of 22 minutes in this game. There's just no point.
Favors, I didn't realize that. He didn't even play. I saw him come off the bench, but he didn't even play. So
is this a Jahlil Okafor game? That's another question. Like, he played 26 minutes, had 21-4 in the last game. Like,
yeah, Jahlil Okafor is absolutely in play because we know he's a high usage guy.
These are the games where you target him.
Yeah, just let him, because still a really, really talented post scorer. Just let him go to work against these third strings from Orlando.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I love him as a play. I think my favorite play on this team is Nikhil Alexander-Walker. I would hope that he gets, like, if Hart's out, he's going to flirt with 30, 32 minutes. But I think 25 is a lock for him. And at his price and his usage, I absolutely love the play. Frank Jackson's fine. But as in an order of priority, I'd probably go Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Etuan Moore, Jahlil Okafor. If we get word that Jahlil Okafor is starting, he'd vault up to number one.
Cool. This is the slate, man. Just find the guys playing minutes. Portland, Phoenix, Memphis. Those guys are going to be playing the minutes. That's where you want to get to. Regular season, as weird as the season has been, we are about to be finished with the regular season. Playoffs start next week. We have Friday with, what, four games? Yeah. Can probably do a podcast on that one. Playoffs next week. We will be doing this for the playoffs, though, which...
Yep.
I'm excited about, because A, playoff basketball, and B, get to talk about more basketball. So still working on the iTunes and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's still iTunes. It's a process. Up to a couple weeks. So it is on Spotify. So that should hold us over until iTunes. I'll connect with Kalachi and our team to see if there's any way to expedite it.
Cool. Yeah. Make sure you guys check out all the content. I have the game by game article going up early Thursday morning. You'll have, you know, Kyle Murray's Saber Sim, his projections, Tenacious D with his GPP picks. I mean, just dude wins all the GPPs, so you want his advice. Stefano's content, Fast Eddie Fears live stream, which is always a good time, in the Discord chat, which is correlated to that, so you can get all the news as it breaks. Everybody in that chat does a great job of posting, you know, injury news and lineup news and coach quotes right away. So best of luck on this slate. Make sure that you are paying attention. As always, we will be back on Friday. Thanks for listening. Peace out.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam and Joe. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.